This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear, we're on our way down. We must take America back, Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C., before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back, as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
We are back. Second hour of the National Intel Report on this Monday. I'm your host, John Stettmiller, and down there in God's waiting room on the 24th day of June, 2019, is Steve Elkins.
Hello, John.
Hello, Steve. By the way, I pulled up the article here. Over to New York Times, author Ivan Penn drove a Chevrolet Bolt from L.A. to Las Vegas. That's a 540-mile round trip that many people make regularly. Well, Penn reports that in addition to 8 hours on the road, he spent close to 5.5 hours charging the car. And that's about 41% charging time of the entire trip. He says it could have been much worse. We've always found a charger available, though more than once we got the last one, and the drivers arriving after us had to wait. Thus, what was a 5.5 hour trip could easily have been 8 hours. And so, folks, I'll tell you what. go buy an electric car. Yeah, go do that. And I still want a breakdown of the cost of electricity versus a gallon of gasoline.
Right,
Steve. But of course we could let Israel blow up half of the Middle East, and I guess that would cause an energy crunch. And then I guess the oil companies could clean up before we went green. I don't know.
Well, what about the economic impact? I mean, the environmental impact. So are we going to build more nuclear power stations, or more coal?
No. No, because we haven't figured out. I mean, weren't we talking about fusion before? We weren't talking about fission. We were talking fusion.
Fusion.
Yeah, and that technology was humming along quite nicely. All of a sudden, that fell off the face of the planet. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, and again, you know, we got technologies out there right now. Is it as easy and convenient to pulling up to a gas station and getting a few gallons of gas? No. But the downside of it and the expense, I don't know what you folks out there are paying for electricity. But, okay, have you noticed your electric bill lately? That's all I'll say, in any rate. You're awfully quiet down there today in Florida.
No, I thought we had another call coming. Hey, I got a question for you. I always think these inventors put the cart before the horse, but I haven't heard in a while, but they were talking about for a while, they're the driverless cars and buses. You heard about that, right?
Oh, yeah.
So the question is, I guess if these things are perfect, there's no need for insurance companies anymore. I don't have to pay all that money in car insurance because these things will drive and they're not supposed to crash into each other. There's no need for car insurance, right?
I guess. Right? Yeah.
And, be no need.
Well, and it's going to be just an aberrant, you know, mishap if somebody gets run over by a smart car. You know, in this country, we seem to be stuck on stupid and we can't really seem to plan on the future. You know, didn't Elon Musk, didn't he come out with some equipment that you could bore under the earth like an earthworm burrows through earth? I'm wondering why we're not putting up high-speed rail. You know, the problem with railroads is you got to build an overpass or an underpass, or you just have a railroad crossing, and if you've got something traveling 40 miles an hour and people are getting smashed in those little intersections, you know, how do you put a train up that does 200 miles an hour?
I don't know.
If you take a look at China and what they've been doing, they have been building hand over fist. Japan and China combined running their high-speed trains. You know how many fatalities they had since they've been doing this? Zero.
Zero.
Zero. I mean, and it seems like every day that you got a you got a drunk engineer or somebody that's texting or taking a nap or scratching his whatever, and people die.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, I just dropped in to see what my condition was in. By the way, PJ, thank you for this. He just sent me an email. He said the definitive true expert on 5G is Mark Steele of AV9. He's an electronics engineer and inventor. Do look at least 5 YouTube videos on this horror story regarding Mark Steele. It is the number one urgent event for all of us now. He says, I'll send you further links to these videos tomorrow. And just to clarify what smart technology stands for, secret militarized arms residential technologies. 5G, he says, is a weapon to destroy all life on this planet. Okay. All right. Well, thank you, PJ. I appreciate that. I'm going to make you talk, Steve.
I'm making notes here.
Well, you're making notes and you're reading, but you're not talking. You don't get to do that.
No, 5G. I'm looking at Mark Steele. I don't know him, so I've got to research this guy.
Well,
I did send you over about your guest. You got that email, right? Bill Binney. He's got a nice resume. Got a really nice resume. Should be a good show. Whistleblower.
No, the last one I got from you is California is broken.
No, I just sent it 5 minutes ago. Check your memo.
Well, I am.
It's right there. It says William Binney.
There it is. It finally popped up.
Yep. So you got a good guest tomorrow.
Intelligence officials with the United States National Security Agency. He's going to be on tomorrow.
Yeah, good. Good stuff. Yeah. How'd you get this guy anyway? How'd you get him?
My friend Harley.
Oh, okay.
Harley. Very good. Harley Schlanger. I just love saying that guy's name. Harley Schlanger.
Yeah. It's kind of a porno name, isn't it? Harley Schlanger.
Gosh almighty. He speaks, and then I thinking to myself, why is he talking? No, I'm just kidding.
It's a good porno name.
Jeez.
My name's Harley Schlanger.
Oh, gosh. Ken in New York.
He's a good guy.
Help me out here.
No, you'd have to replace the A with an O.
Yeah. Okay. Don't you start.
Hi, Steve. Hi, John.
Hey, how's it going?
You know, does anybody ever, by the way, I like that previous quality RF engineer. He'd be fun to have him feel some calls sometime. What he could have been picking up with his piece of equipment, his spectrum analyzer, was either radiation through the microwave or what's called conductive emission, where it goes back on the power line. The power line acts like an antenna, and that's because of the cheap amount of filtering they put between the power line and the device itself.
Well, do you, Ken, do you know anything about the Tesla technology?
You mean the car? Tesla car?
No. I'm talking about Nikolai Tesla.
I've read a lot about him. I can't say I can recall it all at the top now, but boy, he was a very interesting guy.
Well, and about electricity generation, back in the day when we were just, well, we didn't invent electricity, we just found out how to use it and put it point to point and then created the little devices that use it. But back in the day, we had Westinghouse that was going full tilt boogie here with AC. And
I know about that.
And our dear friend Tommy Edison, he wanted direct current, which it transmission is really a problem because you want to talk about, you know, heat buildup and not being able to transmit very far. AC was the way to go. But we have the Tesla technologies that could be used today, but of course, they're not. You know, what is it that, I mean, how would you ever make your toast, Ken, in the morning? How would you brew your coffee? You know, how the hell did they brew coffee 100 years ago? Put a flame underneath it, you know?
I don't think his technology would have been suitable to go from his transmitter to the house, but it would have been point-to-point in long distances, and it might have been like the thing Gerard O'Neill was proposing that I've mentioned in the past where he talked about using microwave to convert and transmit, say, from the moon to the Earth or from a satellite to the Earth, and then reassemble, then reconvert it again. Biggest problem is efficiency and losses of conversion of these technologies. Tesla, for example, well, just to jump over for a second onto the Tesla car, do you ever hear anybody talk about all of the pollution and the heavy metals and the poison that's created in manufacturing solar cells and, you know, the batteries?
No, that you know why? Because we've let the Chinese deal with the poisonous stuff. we don't make solar panels here.
Have you ever heard of how many Chinese have died manufacturing compact fluorescent bulbs because of the mercury in them?
No.
I've read about that stuff.
Yeah. Well, I wonder how many have died, like the Chinese care. I wonder how many people have died making those solar panels.
Sure, sure.
Yeah.
There was a guy that had an efficient one, but he never got a lot of publicity in this country. His name was Stanford Ovshinsky, and he was making flexible roll-on solar cells and paint back in the 1980s. And from what I understand, the guy didn't have he wasn't a real engineer, like a degreed engineer, but he was like he just seemed to have a knack for this stuff. He was like a natural. He's probably gone by now, but he had been manufacturing this, and he never got any traction in the United States, but he sold it around the world. And I think he patented something called Ovonics or something like that, Ovionics or something of that nature. And that's what he called his flexible solar cell process.
Well, I can.
And,
go ahead.
And if I can say something about silver, you know, the price of silver, I had bought some silver back quite a while ago, back in 2009. I think it was like $27, somewhere in that area. And now it's dropped. You'll see silver go back up when you truly see manufacturing go back up, because silver is used in solders and it's used in plating and it's used heavily in electronics. And even if it's not strictly electronics manufacturing, most products have some kind of electronic circuitry or a computer in them, you know, like your John Deere or something like, or your computer in your car.
Yeah, but that's assuming that manufacturing is going to go up, and I don't see any indicator that that's going to happen.
Right, right. That's why I said that. I don't think you're going to see silver go up until you see manufacturing go up.
I disagree with you because, silver is used more in place of gold, where they used to use gold for contacts and things of that sort.
Yes.
But they use silver or some other combination of metals for conductivity. But I'm in disagreement with you. The next time that these flaming, you know, the real Bitcoin people making fake stuff and then charging you a tax or a fee or an interest for using it, when the markets take another hit, you're going to see the gold and silver go back up again, because I don't think after the next hit comes from the bankers, I don't think there's any coming back from that. And when it does happen, it's going to take a long time. But
Are you talking?
What?
Okay, I'm sorry.
Go ahead. Am I talking what?
Are you talking about a bubble popping or an event as opposed to it gradually going back up and staying up?
It's not going back up and staying up because too many people are straddled with debt. The individual, the consumer, straddled with debt. The manufacturers and the corporations, I don't know how much in debt they are, but you can't sell a product or a service to anybody that doesn't have any money unless you plan on giving it away free, which I don't think is part of the board of directors' plans at Corporation XYZ.
What is your opinion on keeping? I tend to keep quarters for my silver. I have a few silver dollars, but I like keeping quarters because I think it's easier for, if there were such a time, it would be easier for people to understand the difference between a quarter and a silver quarter, where they would typically maybe $6 or $7.
Okay, I missed the question.
I'm sorry. My opinion about keeping silver is to keep junk silver in the form of quarters.
Well, junk silver. Okay, junk silver. Number one is not considered to be the non-silver stuff. Okay, junk silver is the stuff that they used to make our coins out of. That's considered junk silver.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm talking about like pre-1965 quarters and things of
that's,
that nature.
That's junk silver.
Oh, okay. Well, okay. But then a lot of them still look pretty nice. I mean, just,
oh yeah. Well, there's nothing wrong
with it.
When
you turn them on the side, you know.
There's nothing wrong with it, and it's worth more than their copper-clad piece of whatever Washington stuff they're putting out now. Yeah.
Yeah. Must be more copper now than ever.
I don't know. Just I used to have fun with this. I used to have a silver quarter, and then I'd have the newfangled quarter, and then I'd put the microphone down near the table, and I'd drop one. One has a ring to it, and the other one has a thud. You know?
Must be the lead content.
Yeah. All right. Hey, Ken, thanks for your call.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye.
A lot of calls today. Jerry in Arkansas. What?
I was just looking up your quarter. What are the metals you're using now?
Is that why you're not talking? Everything I talk about, you got to look up on computer.
You
don't get to do that anymore.
You
don't get to do that anymore.
I've got to find out.
Yeah, I don't. Inquiring minds need to know. Wait 2 hours.
Okay, I'll let you know.
Okay, you'll let me know.
take the caller. Take the caller.
Jerry in Arkansas. Hello, Jerry.
Hey, well, it's Joe. Hey, John. Hey, Steve.
Whoa. You got to reconnect, Jerry. Because all I'm hearing is a very loud ripping sound. He's gone? Okay. Call back in, Jerry. Pat in Texas. Hello, Pat.
Hey, John.
Yes.
Steve. I'm a little late probably, but you were talking about Elon Musk. I'm always thinking about why he got SpaceX. First of all, he's been putting up the satellites, the low-level satellites. You know, thousands, and originally he did it for Iridium, and they made the Very chip. Remember the Very chip? Everybody warned us that we're going to have a chip so they can follow us around.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Iridium sold it, so they're not connected in a way, but they are still connected. I'm sorry, you probably know more about it than I do. But really, I think that'll be the first thing that's going to come, is they got to have the chip and everything, including you, so you can buy or sell. And then they got to follow you around with those satellites. And they say they only stay up there, I don't know how long they say, but I had a dream back up in Indiana, and I dreamed that I looked up and someone was about to follow me about the size of a Volkswagen. I jumped back in time. And then the South Bend newspaper came out with an article and said these satellites they're putting up are about the size of a Volkswagen and they will be falling. So not only would you be zapped if you're got a chip in you, and you're being followed all over?
I don't know, but I know one thing. If you were in Indiana when you had this, it wasn't a dream. It was a nightmare.
And all Indiana's not bad.
not all of Indiana's bad, but most of it. And they've got screwed up people have been running that state into the ground for years. Same with Illinois.
What a ran for president.
Hey, okay. What about that guy in South Bend, Indiana?
What guy?
I think he's met his match lately.
All right. Hey, thanks. Pat.
The light in the lower
media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Where the magic's from, what you gonna do when things go wrong? What you gonna do when it all backs up? What you gonna do when your love burns down? What you gonna do when the flames go up? Who's gonna come and turn the tides? What's it gonna take to make a dream survive?
All right, we're back. It wasn't Jerry in Arkansas. His phone connection was so bad we couldn't hear his name. His real name's Joe. Hello, Joe in Arkansas.
Hey, good evening, John and Eve.
Hey.
Just want to bring something up about the Tesla. If you look up Steve, you can look up down in Florida where two of them are burst into flames. And what happens is the batteries, they catch on fire. You can't put them out. And so the one accident, the car caught on fire on the top of the tow truck. And then it caught on fire three times at the impound yard.
Oh, gosh.
So there's a problem with that, for sure.
Well, and could you imagine, and I couldn't imagine two Teslas in a high-speed front-end collision, but unless these damn things are made out of titanium and they've got a cage that can withstand such impacts, there's going to be more people melting and fires in these things. I mean, they're okay, but I watched a video a long time ago, Joe, on why these these cell phones were bursting into fire in people's pockets and their purses and everything else. Well, they seem to have cleaned it up in manufacturing process, but the danger is still there. And you're right. Once these things get hot and they start to burn, there's no putting them out.
Yeah, and they have special training now for fire departments on what to do. Because you're just wasting water, putting water on top of them, and all that's running down into the drains, and you can't put them out. They have to sit for at least 24 hours.
Yeah. Now, how is it I can't see firemen sitting around for 24 hours waiting for a thing? Yeah, gosh. Oh, man.
Hey, what's the price tag on it?
I don't think that's a good thing.
No, I don't. What'd you say, Steve?
What's the price tag on a Tesla?
Expensive. You know what? I don't even know.
70 grand?
Could be. I know the Chevy Volts, when they first came out, people were going, you want how much for these things? And I can only drive how far? And people bought them, and it was kind of a status symbol. I'm a green person, or I'm conscious of my environment, and ain't I cool? But I don't know. They were expensive, and that was for a Chevy Volt. We're talking Tesla here. I don't know.
Not for me.
Not for
me. You guys have a good night.
Thank you, Joe.
Have a good night.
I appreciate it very much. Like I said, I don't have anything against electric cars, but it's a technology, man. I mean, yeah. We're talking about travel here. Going places quickly. Okay, we have no high-speed trains. We've got internal combustion cars, but the fuel is plentiful. And, you know, Poland, I don't know what kind of gas stations you got down in Florida, but up here in Texas, Steve, you can pull into a gas station and they got 30 or 40 pumps. You know, there's no waiting in line there.
Well, no, that article even mentioned about the problem of there's not enough charging stations. I mean,
there's not.
If everybody started going to the electric car and you only had, like, what, say, 200 miles for a charge, I mean, how could you? It's impossible to think that you'd have this many charging stations that we could all charge our cars.
Well, I mean, when was it? When was I at your place? Last June?
Yeah.
Okay. I stopped. I didn't make the whole drive, but that drive I used to make in about 17, 18 hours. I drive straight through. Mm-hmm. Now, I forget how many tanks of gas that is, but my highway driving, if I'm not doing 80, then I'm standing still. But be that as it may, a trip of that length with the range, I mean, I'd have to. I mean, I guess I could get a couple hours sleep at the charging station while I'm waiting. But this whole thing, they're pushing technologies that we're just not ready for.
Nope, you're right.
Yeah.
Not ready for.
Not ready for prime time playing.
Mm-mm.
All right, do we have another caller there? Oh, okay. Now we can get into some news, Steve.
Okay, let's do it.
You know, I just figured out what you're doing.
What's that?
You just sent me an email about quarter metal used. And you put Cupra nickel, that's your thud. So you're looking this stuff up online, you're reading part of it, and then you're sending it over to me. You can't do that.
Well, I'm just trying to educate myself. And,
well, yeah, but you do that on your own time, not on this. See,
I can multitask.
No, you can't, because when you're doing this, you ain't talking, talk show host. Steve
is
here.
Listening to you. You are the host.
Oh,
I am the co-host.
Oh, my God.
Okay, let's get some news.
I was just going to say, there's no way out of this. Better cut it off. You're already in over your head.
Let's get some news.
All right, let's get some news.
Okay.
Well,
let's talk about the immigration thing.
Okay.
Let's talk about why did Trump called off ICE on Sunday? They were supposed to do their big raids on Sunday, right? Right?
Right.
Yeah,
I don't know. If you say
they were supposed to, they were supposed to do their big raids on Sunday, and first of all, he tipped them off, which is a dumb thing to do on a tweet. We're going to be doing our raids on Sunday. I can't believe he would actually tweet that, but he called them off 2 weeks. We got to wait 2 weeks, and I got a little theory what's going to happen in 2 weeks,
and we shall learn that after this bottom of the hour break. By the way, Elizabeth Warren demands reparations for gay and lesbian couples. I thought it was blacks and slaves. Now it's gays and lesbians.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. It really does work like the review says it does. I cannot believe that after the first few days, I didn't feel as sluggish or clogged up. It has had a profound impact on my physical, emotional well-being. I'm skeptical as most people about products and their claims, and I never write reviews, but this is a wonderful product and I recommend it to everyone. Great product. It has brought my blood pressure from the mid-150s over the 80s to the mid-130s over mid-80s, along with diet and exercise in just the past couple of months. Excellent. Thank you, David. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Some people say a man is made out of mud. A poor man's made out of muscle and blood. Muscle and blood and skin and bones. A mind that's weak and a back that's strong. You load 16 tons, what do you get? Another day older and...
They can't play this song in Europe because they don't know what a ton is. They're metric. The former chief of Israel's intelligence agency, the great Mossad, you know, by way of deception, Shabtai Shavit, can't make this name up, has said that Israel does not want peace and that if it had, it would have made peace with the Palestinian Authority long time ago. Shavit gave his remarks to the Israeli daily Mariv, reiterating that if Israel wanted peace, it would have discussed it in economic and infrastructure terms that serve the interest of both parties. However, Shavit said that Israel's prime minister, Benjamin Netanyahu, does not see the PA as a negotiating partner and therefore refuses to develop relations with the authority. And I simply read that Benjamin Netanyahu doesn't see the Palestinian Authority as a negotiating partner because they're not done stealing their land yet, and therefore refuses to develop relations with the authority. Do you know any other head of the Israeli government who did not talk with the Palestinians, he asked? And that is true. Shevet also claimed that Netanyahu stopped speaking with the PA under pressure from the Israel right wing, who claimed would lynch him in the city center. I'd pay to see that, if he opened discussions today. We, meaning Israel, are the strongest in the Middle East, Shevet continued, adding that at this time no Arab coalition is likely to be formed that would endanger Israel's existence like in the 60s and the 70s. Why is that, folks? Because they didn't have nuclear weapons back then. Think about this. Oh, well, Iran's continuing with its enrichment to build a bomb. Yeah, my next door neighbor has 400 of the damn things. I'm feeling a little insecure here. But see, we don't talk about this. Steve, we don't talk about Iran's past. We don't talk about Iran at all. If there was one country that was been screwed over repeatedly since 1979, I would pretty much give my vote to Iran. But we're not done. So they're trying, Steve, they're trying to cook up a way here to go start bombing the hell out of Iran. And yes, and the thing that's been absent here, and I heard a little background noise as to what China and Russia thinks about that, but you haven't heard any of that. That has been completely cut off. And as we now know, well, who was arming the bad guys in Syria? Well, it was the United States. And who was battling the bad guys for the Syrian government? That was the Russians. Trump took credit for that the other day. I saw a film clip. Well, we killed off the bad guys in Syria. No, you didn't. Your previous administration and that, the one before that, was funding them as opposition to bring down the Syrian government, and that didn't work out too well. Now we're going to go into Iran. I wished I had the direct line to the Russian government. I'd love to hear what they have to say about this, because Steve's assurance has been made that, well, if the United States goes into Iran, Russia is not going to, they're going to just do a hands off.
No, I don't think they will. I think they will, but hands on. They're definitely, China's also going to step in and say, no, this isn't going to happen. You know, there was an article in CNN today, which I was really surprised they actually said this, but in the article, I'll send it over to you, that they actually admitted part of this whole agenda against Iran is because Iran wants to leave centralized banking. Actually said that in the article, the very end of the article. And so new conditions are being made, new conditions added on, more sanctions, more provoking, more probing, and just making more trouble, trying to get somebody to say, you know, that's it, I'm going to do something, military action. And of course, the United States will say, we're justified in doing what we're doing. And Iran, or Israel, of course, will benefit from the whole thing. They'll just piggyback on the back of us while we go over there militarily. But this is... the actual article said that. It actually said that, the very end article. It was, they want to leave, Iran wants to leave centralized banking, the control of centralized banking, which is controlled by U.S. And we can't let that happen. Any country that does that, of course, gets a bullseye on them, correct?
Well, yeah. I mean, we got to have the corporatized version of banking. You know, we got to have the interest people involved. We got to have corporations. We got to have Mickey D's over there. I know that's your favorite restaurant. I mean, the corporatization of the Middle East cannot be denied. I mean, this is, you know, once we stop killing people and we, you know, pick up the dead bodies and, you know, rebuild things and get rid of all the rubble, I mean, my God, business hates a vacuum, so let's move the U.S. corporations or worldwide corporations right into the Middle East so they can become like the rest of them. They don't want to be like the rest of them if nobody has noticed. God.
Well, if you've noticed also, the United States, there's a phrase I'd like to use, and I can't use it on air because of the language, but I'll say stuff instead of that word, stuff stirrer. And the United States right now is trying very hard. I mean, they just did a cyber attack on Russia's power grid. They are trying very hard to just piss off somebody to do something militarily. They'll give them excuse. This latest drone being shot down happened to be recovered in Iranian waters. Well, no, it wasn't in international waters, because if it was shot down in international waters, it would have fallen in international waters. Well, it was in their waters.
And Steve, what good would her surveillance drone be if it was in the wrong place, if it's in international waters and not in Iran territory? Why would you send over a drone to spy on anybody?
Well, your old phrase, snooping and pooping, they got caught. And the Iranians were justified in shooting the damn thing down. They really were.
Yes.
We would have done the same thing. If they were cruising over there on the Pacific there in California, we would have shot the damn thing down. We would have done that. And that's fair game, and they just got caught. Of course, you just shame the government. Of course, there's a double standard here. We can do what we want to do, and you can't. So no. We were caught snooping and pooping, and that's it.
If it was an Iranian drone and it got shot down by the U.S. and U.S. territory, there would have been people on board. There would have been a greater tragedy. Or when it crashed, it killed an important person or something. You know, people, I mean, this is why you're starting to see Bolton rather than communicating to people like Bibi Netanyahu. This guy's jumping on a plane and going over and delivering the crap. They're not even, with all the leaks, folks, if you haven't noticed, in government anymore, people are getting pretty sick and tired of still working for the agencies and the information gets leaked. We got more leaks in Washington, D.C. than I think the RMS Titanic had. And it only managed to stay afloat for a couple hours. By the way, finishing off this, the strong, and we're talking about Israel here, the strong can do for itself what the weak cannot do. We can run over the other side if we want. Regarding the Oslo Accords of the mid-90s, the last substantial attempt at peace negotiations, Shevitt said that the Israel right wing has since painted this agreement as a sin, arguing that they continue down this path, there could have been peace. This is not a fantasy because those who do not want peace succeeded in making large portions of the country believe that Oslo was the mother of all sins and the desire for peace was also a sin. And that's what Shevet concluded. Now here's the intelligence guy from Israel speaking plain truths, something we've known for a very long time. Steve, remember the Camp David Accords with Jimmy Carter?
Yeah.
If you look into the history of Jimmy Carter and just his 4 years in office, he's finally remembered as, well, the breakdown, and he tried to rescue the hostages, and the deal was already made, but Reagan gets in. You know the story. But check into what Jimmy Carter did in the formation of the intelligence agencies, more power, money spent at the Pentagon. This was not a very peaceful guy. He's still out there driving nails for Habitat for Humanity, but this guy did more damage to humanity than you could shake a stick at. Look into his past. Tell me Jimmy Carter was a good president.
Yeah, he wasn't.
Dennis in Florida. Welcome back, Dennis.
Well, thanks for having me back, John.
Yes, sir.
I agree with a lot of what you guys are talking about as far as Iran. It's... I don't even want to, you know, that particular subject is, it's a mystery. I mean, who knows what's going to happen? I mean, they're setting us up for a world war, but I just hope the public in large don't go along. But.
Well, the only problem with World War III is there's a reason why we haven't had World War III since World War II, is because everybody went out and got those nuclear weapons. And it's real hard on the furniture and real hard on Fido and the family and, well, the Earth in general, having a nuclear war. This is one of the reasons I contend that we have not had one. It's because this is dirty and this is messy, and I cannot see the globalists living underground for the next 50 years to avoid the radiation. We have finally done something that really is the Mexican standoff, so to speak. And that's creating weapons that you use them, the minute you launch them, you lose in one form or fashion. So we've had plenty. We went through a Cold War. We went through many other instances that nuclear weapons could have been used. And there are many presidents that occupied this White House prior to Donald Trump that their solution was to use nukes. It's come up time and time and time and time again, but we haven't done it. Because once you start pushing those buttons, Dennis, it gets really messy, and nobody wants to glow in the dark or walk around half-baked or medium rare.
Right, and I would argue that that would be called the final war. We're already in the third world war through terrorism and all the yep. crap that, you know, that's going on, of course.
Thank but you. I wonder, thank you for making that observation, because you are exactly correct. This is to be limited war. This is to be war that's not going to be worldwide. This has been the game plan for many, many years. It's called limited war. World wars, real dangerous. Nuclear weapons, not a good idea.
I agree. I wanted to make comment on your talk about the electric cars.
Yeah.
I think they have a part to play. I don't think they're the solution, like a lot of things. You know, good ideas aren't the total solution to change out what's going on, but I think they do play their part. I mean, short trips, mm-hmm. everyday commutes, short commutes. I think they have a great part to play. I think we should explore electric cars.
Thank you for saying that, Dennis, because what you just did was jailed a thought that was forming in my head a while ago. Let's bring in the subject of smart cities. What does the United Nations want to do? They want to run everybody into the major cities. This is why you have the smart cities. You got the smart grid. You got smart this, smart that. They want to herd everybody into the metropolitan areas and then restrict travel between these areas. And you are essentially right. If you've got a Tesla car or a Chevy Volt or whatever the hell it is, you got plenty of juice to run around town and go pick up your dry cleaning, go to the grocery store, go get a haircut, drop the kids off, pick up the husband, whatever. In those metropolitan areas, these cars, well, they're pretty doggone cool until such time that you want to make a long trip. That's when you start getting into the problems. Now, how does that fit into the global idea of the United Nations and their smart growth and their smart cities? Fits in perfectly.
Well, it does fit in perfectly, but they still work on medium-sized cities and smaller towns. I mean, you can still, my point is, I think we still utilize electric cars. It's not definitely not an ultimate solution to travel as far as
travel. Let me ask
one more thing.
Yeah, okay, go ahead.
No, you know, finish your point on that.
No, I was just going to say, you know, there are cars out there that are still internal combustion cars, but I would never get on one. I would much rather drive a motorcycle on a freeway, mm-hmm. a crowded freeway, doing 80 miles an hour, than drive a smart car. Whoever's idea to make this two-seat laughable thing, you know, I mean...
But it does carry two people.
Oh, but it carries two people. Yeah, I mean, you can kill more than one. Multiply the death of one by one, and you got two.
Well, if everybody's on motorcycles, I'm all for motorcycles. If everyone's on one, but same with the little mini, you know, the smart cars. I mean, if everybody's doing the same thing, I don't. That's not the world I want to live in. But
no.
John, let me ask you one more thing before we run out of time.
Yeah.
What I know you know something about this Tobin tax, the Wall Street tax, like a small percentage on every trade done. We know why that's not implemented, but what do you think of that?
Don't know enough about it to make an intelligent comment, Dennis.
Oh, wow. You know what that is. So, John, that's why I like you, sir.
Hey, can we jump back to the car again? I got a comment for Dennis. Dennis, the electric car is not economical. There was somebody who did a study, and they talked about paying $10,000 more for this hybrid electric car and for over the price of a regular car. You don't use $10,000 in 5 years of fuel to make it worthwhile to go to the electric car. So it's not cost effective.
Not yet.
It really is.
Yet.
No, it's not.
I just don't want to give up on innovation and technology.
I don't either. And Dennis, I hope I'm not suggesting to people that we stay in the dark ages and still huddle around campfires to heat up and make
our
coffee. Well, so do I, but we have houses now. You can build your own campfire inside the house. It's called a fireplace, of which Texas builds apartment buildings with fireplaces in them, but they don't build them like that up north. Crazy stuff in this world. But at any rate, I appreciate your call, Dennis, for coming up on the break, and please don't be a stranger. We'll take your call anytime.
Thank you for what you do, John. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Dennis. Stevie Chinarino.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, just checking to see. Yep. But
I was going to give you my answer to the ice thing.
Oh, go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I think in 2 weeks this whole Iran thing is going to be blowing up in us, in our faces here, and we're going to forget all about this whole ice thing. But the thing is, he was requesting the impossible, to round up all these people and talking about deporting a million or so illegals into other countries. It's impossible. It's totally impossible. I think it came out of his mouth before his brain was engaged and realized this can't possibly happen. I need 2 weeks to buy some time here to blame it on Democrats and Republicans and say, now in 2 weeks, they're going to have to manufacture a false flag or something with Iran. So this thing just completely goes away and says, hey, what about those deportations of a million people? What about that? You know, we're in a war now. I can't talk about that. But my guess is in 2 weeks it'll disappear.
I know you're a closet lover of Donald J. Trump. Just admit it.
I love the guy.
Yes,
I
you
love
do.
It. Hey, do you know I went to the rally? I went to the rally in Orlando.
You
and
did.
Guess who was sitting right next to me?
Who?
James Kelso.
Get out of here. You're kidding.
Yeah, I am kidding.
When the guy finally talks, he spreads lies.
If James saw me, James would probably try to deck me. He's so mad at me right now, but that's all right.
Did you go to Orlando?
I did not. I stayed the hell away from that place. I was too busy.
Okay.
No way.
I'm going to have a donation box that you have to make a Bitcoin donation in if you want to speak. Other than that, you got to be quiet because you're spreading lies.
Okay.
And doing research for your own show.
No, I'm ready for next week, I think. Maybe not. If my Virto system doesn't work, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't want to go back to Skype.
Well, I don't either. Skype. And we haven't heard yet. Have we heard from Dave yet?
He says he's going to call you after the show. He's calling me after the show. He said there's little gremlins. I don't know what that means, gremlins.
Wasn't that a car that AMC used to make, and they even put a 390 in one and put Levi Strauss material on the seat covers?
One of the top 10 ugliest cars ever made, yes.
No, it was the other car that they made that looked like a rolling greenhouse. It was the Pacer.
I was going to say the Pacer's the ugliest.
I got to tell you something. When I was a young man, or a younger man, 30-ish,
Wait a minute, you're an old man. Remember that guy today.
Hush. And my wife-to-be drove a gremlin, and it only had a little six-cylinder, but that damn thing ran like a scalded dog. And I was actually, when I was younger, I was saving up to buy a gremlin with the Levi interior with a 390-horsepower V8 engine that I think put out of 340 horses. For a car that weighed absolutely nothing, and my mind kept going back to the old six-cylinder gremlin, you'd mash down on an accelerator, and you look down, and you're already doing 80, 85 miles an hour. I couldn't imagine what it'd be like with a big V8 in it. But beauty is in the eye of the beholder. There's aquarist out there that I'm sure that looked at the AMC Pacer and said, wow, look how many fish that thing could carry.
That was a fishbowl, wasn't it? A fishbowl with wheels. That back window was huge.
And this is before the days of tint. Okay, yeah, there wasn't a company or shops in everywhere in every street corner that could tint your windows. That would be like literally sitting in a greenhouse.
Yeah.
My God. I mean,
there's nothing worse than going down the highway and seeing a bunch of ugly kids' faces pressed against the Pacer back window.
Well, the Yugo. When my last job in Michigan, I actually met the guy that did the Yugo, and it was a pretty good idea. Rather than engineering and making all these different parts, he just went to the parts bin of different companies and he put all the stuff together and already manufactured parts. It was a good idea, but the thing was a rolling piece of hudda. And there was a joke. Before he went belly up, he was going to consign us to do a very special Yugo. We were going to make a convertible Yugo, and we were going to put a plush leather interior in it. And somebody quipped in the meeting, I won't say it was me, but I said, why do a convertible? I mean, a hardtop's such a better idea. I said, you know, these people love these cars in cold weather. And he looked at me and he said, they do? You don't think the convertible's a good idea? I said, yeah, because you can't put the window defroster in the back window. And that's how people keep their hands warm when they're pushing them once they break down in cold weather. The guy just stood there and he looked at me. And I smiled. And he goes, oh, sarcasm, I get it. Well, 2 weeks later, his company went belly up. That's my Yugo story. And I even had an ad campaign for it. Very simple. Where I go, you go.
There you go.
There you go. But unfortunately, he went belly up. Wasn't a bad idea. It was a cheap car, but other people had made cheap cars. What was that people wagon thing? Looked like
what about the K cars?
No, it was called the Beetle.
Oh,
well, the Volkswagen.
K cars were cheap too.
Yeah, they weren't worth blowing them up with. Jesus. GM and Chrysler coming out with their front-wheel drive cars. Rough start there. Sheldon in Washington. Sheldon, will make you the last caller of today's program.
Yeah, you'll want that to happen, that's for sure. I had a Pacer, and I loved it.
Okay, then. See? Yeah, see? No accounting for taste, Stephen.
See, and what I did was, the first thing I did was I ripped that 3-speed on the floor out and put a 4-speed in there, and that thing handled like it was on rails. It really did.
What size engine did you have?
I had that big 6, 200 and something.
You know, I will say this. When you people first saw a Pacer, it grabbed your attention because it was unlike anything you'd ever seen before. And I didn't think...
Here's something.
Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, when I first saw a Pacer, the first one I saw was yellow, and it had the old cladding on the side, you know, kind of like the old style Woodies. And I looked at that car, and I thought, well, that thing is bright. Look, you can, there's no blind spots in a Pacer. You're a driver of a car. The only blind spot would be if you weren't looking.
That's a fact, and something that only Pacer drivers know, the doors are different sizes. The driver's door is about 4 inches longer than the passenger side.
Now, isn't, you know, I did not know that.
And what it's was for the fat wife.
Okay. What did you say, Stephen?
It's for the fat wife.
You can
stick her in there.
You're bad. Bad.
The next time you see one parked anywhere, look at the back part of the driver's, of the front window, where you would put your hand up and push the button down to lock it, right?
Mm-hmm.
You look down on the driver's side, and it's about as long as your hand. It's about 6-7 inches. You go over to the passenger side, it's half as much.
Well, AMC was never one of the big Mac daddies of Detroit, but I was sorry to see AMC go. I really was. Now we've got Fiat that this guy's a ringer for the globalist. You know, Chrysler bailed out twice. So what was our reward for bailing Chrysler out? Well, they let Fiat buy him out. Thank you very much, Chrysler. Yeah.
I always liked the lines of the Javelin, but I never really got that. I was already burnt out by then on my Pacer. But you're right about the big three. American Motors has always liked a 3.5 or a 3.7. So anyway, have a good day, sir.
Thank you, Sheldon. And let's not forget that AMC was building Jeeps as well. So that was one line that was not a failure. And by the way, that Javelin that came out in what year was that? I forget. They built the Javelin, and one, they made a two-seater with a 390 in it, biggest engine you could get, and the damn thing scooted, and it was pretty, too. All right. Well, my non-involved friend, you going to be this way next Monday?
No, I feel like we were a click and clack today with the car stuff.
Click and clack.
Remember? NPR?
I just had to find a person that thought the Pacer was a good-looking car. All right. Thank you for being here, folks. Thank you, Steve. We'll be back tomorrow. Don't forget Harley Schlanger and Bill Binney tomorrow.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
When your doctor tells you have bad cholesterol or blockages in the arteries, what do you do? When diet and exercise is not enough, we try medications and hope for the best. For the last 2 decades, I have been telling people about a natural method to help solve these problems and more. Extendivite can help maintain cardiovascular health and lower blood lipid levels in adults. The 7 herbs in Extendivite are known to work together synergistically to get the results we hope for. There are many testimonials on Extendivite's effect on circulatory-related ailments. Get Extendivite today to start your journey back to a healthier life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or see us on amazon.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.